after being overdue and over budget considerably. Yesterday saw the official opening of the new Scottish Parliament building in Edinburgh. The opening was performed by Her Majesty the Queen, who made the journey up from her home and her palace in London. But tonight I want us to think about another Queen. And she was also to make a great journey. And she was also to travel a great distance. Solomon was the king who had replaced David, his father, upon the throne. And Solomon is an interesting character to look at, in that he made the very best start to his reign. For the Lord had asked him what was his heart's desire. And instead of asking for riches, or instead of asking for long longevity of life, as most would be prone to do, and how the centuries of time haven't changed those desires. The two things that people want to this day are riches and long longevity of life. But yet Solomon asked instead of those things, he asked for wisdom and for an understanding heart to rule the people. That God was to give to him, along with those other things that he had not asked for. And that wisdom and that discernment from God was something which was soon witnessed, and it was spoken about throughout his kingdom. Here was a king who had been greatly favoured by the God of heaven, one in whom the wisdom of God seemed to be residing. And there are at times in which we can look at the character of Solomon and we can see similarities to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings tonight. He is the Lord of Lords, and there is none like Him in all the earth. Unfortunately, there are other times, and Solomon is any but like the Lord. He is the complete opposite. He may have started off well, but there were those hindrances in his life that would cause him to turn aside from the truth and to be caught up with sin. And maybe there's a word for the child of God in this meeting tonight. I want to impress upon your heart, it is not merely how one starts the Christian walk, but all your desire ought to be to make sure you also have a good finish. To make sure that you are found still walking with the Lord, still walking in the power of His might, still obeying His words. When we come into chapter 10 of 1 Kings, we find Solomon at the very height of his glory and the very height of his wisdom. And it is such a time that this Queen of Sheba was to hear of him and respond to what she had heard. I don't want you to merely look upon this passage tonight as an historical setting. I don't want you merely to think of a time where two monarchs were to meet. But oh, that God would cause us to see that here is a picture of the sinner coming to Christ. And oh, that that would be true of someone even in Garva Free Church tonight. Let me show you first of all here the report that was heard. When we read the words of verse 1, we realize that the Queen of Sheba was to hear about the fame of Solomon. The news of Solomon's goodness and greatness, of his wealth and of his riches, and especially of his wisdom, was to reach the ears of this queen. The manner in which she heard of the fame, we are not told. We can only suspect that when someone would have come down from the north and man, when she had heard of this fame, you'll notice in verse 1 that she was to connect it with the name of his God. It was obvious that his God had greatly blessed him. It was obvious that he was exercising heavenly wisdom. And as far as she was concerned, the reports that she was hearing could not be ignored. The desire started to arise within her heart that she would have to investigate the matter for herself. But something else that you learn about this fame, it was a fame which was spread abroad. We must appreciate the fact that when we think of this queen, she was a great way off. She was the Queen of Sheba, and that was a region in northern Arabia. We understand something more of the distance that the fame of Solomon was to travel. And we recall to mind those words of the Saviour himself when he used to refer to this woman. In Matthew 12 and verse 42 he said, "For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." She came from the uttermost parts of the earth. His fame had spread abroad to the extent that it was now being reported in her own land a great way off. But when we are speaking the words of verse 6, we understand that his fame had to do primarily with his acts. She said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom." And if you care to look at the margin in your Bible, you will understand, you will see that renders it his sayings. It was a word that was noised abroad. That was the word that she had heard. His words were words of wisdom. His word was listened to and acted upon. He showed great discernment in making judgment and ruling his people. Oh, do you remember how the two women were fighting over the child? And yet Solomon calls for a sword to be brought and to cut the child in half. He knew that that would bring out the true mother. She would spare her child at all costs. Great wisdom, great discernment in ruling the people. And my friend, when we're found speaking of the theme of Solomon, it can only cause us to think of the greater Solomon. The report of Christ is similar to that of Solomon, only greater. You have heard of his report. You have heard through the preaching of his word. The message from this pulpit has been considerably of the King of Kings, and the business of this preacher is to spread abroad the theme of Christ. I'm not interested in telling little stories tonight. I'm not interested in being taken up with fables. I must preach this book. I must tell abroad the theme of the Savior himself. The gospel preacher will not desire to entertain. He will not desire to lift himself up before a people, but rather he will desire to lift up the beauty of Christ before the people. For the word of God tells us, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The report we have to give of this great Solomon. I tell you tonight of the printers. I bring before you one tonight who is the blessed second person of the Trinity, the Son of God and God the Son. His coexistence with the Father in spirit was from eternity past. And it was the Godhead who decreed the great plan of man's salvation before the foundation of the world, a means whereby you might be saved. When the fullness of time was come, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, would leave the realms of glory behind. And he would come down to the sin-cursed scene of time, not diminishing his eternal deity, but at the same time taking upon himself our humanity. So that he would truly be God and man at the one and same time. And as man, he was subject to all the laws of God, yet without sin. For his life was sinlessly perfect, and was characterized by complete obedience. It was commanded that he spoke as one who had authority and power, not as the scribes and Pharisees. And that obedience was witnessed before all when he willingly was to ascend Mount Calvary. And there he was to die in the old rugged tree. He died there for the just for the unjust. It wasn't weakness which held him on the cross, but it was his love for his Father's will, and it was his love for sinners to be saved, such as you and I. On the cross he died no ordinary death, because he who knew no sin, yet he became sin for us. In his body he was to pay the full penalty for our sins before a thrice holy law. He took the wrath of God that was our due. He died as a sinner substitute in your stead and in mine, that we might be saved. He was placed in a tomb. But the third day he rose again, and he was to gloriously ascend back to the throne of God, where he sat down, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That is the report that I must bring to you tonight, and every night in this church. It is the report of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the report which has been spread abroad. For the great commission to the church was to take this report into Jerusalem, and in the Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the message that we have to spread. It is a report if I can sum it up, of who Christ is and what He has done for us. That's the message. You have heard that news. It has reached your ears many a time. And hearing is the first step towards entering into the Spirit, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're in the best place tonight for your soul to be saved, because the Word of God has been preached to your heart. The Lord was to illustrate how important your is when He spoke of the building of the wise and the foolish man. Matthew chapter 7. If you care to turn with me to that passage just for a second, we may be taken up with the building of the house upon the rock and the building upon the house upon the sand. But I want you to see the application of the parable itself. You'll notice in the words of verse 24, "Therefore," come end of the Sermon on the Mount, it is so called, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built this house upon the rock." Here's something which has to do with how you hear the Word of God, and how you hear the message of the Gospel, and whether you obey it or not. Hearing the Word of God, hearing the message of the Gospel, and being obedient to it, God likens you to the wise man that built the house on the rock. But if you look at verse 26, you will see the other one. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." You just come into the house of God, and you just hear the message, and you do nothing about that message in your own soul. You are likened to the foolish man who went out and built his foundations on the sand, and when those storms came, great was the fall of that house. I wonder tonight, which of these describe you? You have heard of the Savior's report. I wonder, what are you going to do with it tonight? Let me bring you secondly on to show you the response given here. On hearing of this great theme of Solomon, the Queen of Sheba decided that there was only one fitting response that she could give. There was a sense in which she could not fully believe all that she had heard about this man. But yet there was enough to arouse her, despite all the obstacles that seemed to be in her way. She was determined to take that step and make her way unto him. Her response was, she came for herself. Verse 7. "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it." Here was one in search of the truth. She was coming probably also in search of the God of Solomon, who evidently had blessed him so richly. There were so many questions which were arising within her heart and her mind, and if these were going to be answered, then she believed that she must come to this man. And you'll notice in the words of verse 1 that the testimony of the Holy Ghost is that she came with hard questions, difficult questions. When she came before him, she was to commune with Solomon up within her heart. She opened her heart to him. But when she did so, she was to see personally that nothing was too hard for this king. Verse 3. "And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, but he told her not." He was able to answer the most difficult of questions. Oh, it may have been a long, arduous journey to make, but yet it seemed to be worthwhile. It proved to be worthwhile when she came in touch with this king. It was a response which was to see for herself all that the king had and how much she had been blessed by him. But I want you to see further that her response was one which brought forth a confession on her part. You will read with me the words of verse 7. "Behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity a theme which I heard." The half was not told me. She concluded that in hearing him speak and seeing for herself that the report that she had heard was only a part of the story. There was much more besides which she hadn't been told until she came. And the response that this Queen of Sheba gave, it stands as a model for every unbeliever in this congregation. If she could speak to your heart tonight, then she would encourage you to come to the greater King, even the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have heard a marvelous report of Him, and you have. It may be that there are eternal questions which are weighing heavy down upon your very soul. But oh, if only your response was like that of this King, that you, dear friend, would only take that step of faith, that you would come tonight by His grace to the Lord of glory, just as you are, as an old sinner who needs the greatest question of all to be settled in your heart, and that is the matter of your sin. If you would only come tonight, then it will be proved to you that nothing and nobody is too hard for the Lord. The stubbornest heart tonight is not too hard for the Lord. The soul tonight that's in this meeting, and like the soul of Tarsus, you're kicking against the pricks, and you're kicking against the gospel, and you're kicking against the discipline of coming to the house of God. Listen, that heart of yours is not too hard for God. It was Philip who went to Nathanael, and he told him that they had found the Christ of whom the prophets had told them of. There were the obvious doubts which arose within the mind of Nathanael. Was it possible that any good could ever come out of Nazareth? And the response that Philip was to give to Nathanael was, come and see. Come and see for yourself. And Nathanael was to come, and he was to realize for himself that the Savior was one who knew everything about him. He knew everything about him before he met him. I read to your hearing tonight John 1 in the words of verse 47 and 48. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? I haven't met you before. Jesus then said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. I saw thee. I want to tell you, the Lord saw you last night where you were. The Lord saw where you were the night before. The Lord knows your heart tonight before you come into this meeting. He said to Nathanael, I saw thee. For I bring you the King who knows all things. And all that Nathanael could do was to confess with his own mouth, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, the King of Israel. Or think of the wee woman whom the Lord met at the well. And how she was to go back into the city, and she said to her townsfolk, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they were to come to see him. Dear sinner friend, if not only in hearing of Christ, but that you would also come, and you too would realize that He alone is the answer to all your questions, and He alone is the answer to all the problems. He alone is the answer of your greatest problem of all, and that is your sin. For the Lord says in Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can't rest in your soul just by trying to ignore the gospel. You'll not find rest in your very being tonight by going out into the world and seeking to fill your mind with everything. There is only one that can give you peace and that rest, and that is the Savior. There's only one that is the remedy for your sin, and He is the answer if you ever want to live for all eternity. For He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You have this guarantee. He, as you come, He will know what has cast you out. But the sad thing is this, that having heard of the Savior, and having heard the fact and known by reading the Bible and hearing it preached in your hearing that you are a sinner on your way to a Christless, you know that. You're not in ignorance to that tonight. And you've heard of the only remedy for your sin and for your soul, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You've sat in the very seat where he is. And yet you went out through those doors rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. And God, the Lord, still cut your heart. And the sad thing is this, that he still has to say those words of John 5:40, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Peter was to realize that there was no one else to whom they could turn to. And so while others were turning away, and while others were turning their back from the Lord, Peter was to say, "Lord, to whom shall thou hast the words of eternal life?" You want to be saved. You want to have eternal life. I'm asking you tonight, to whom are you going to go for it? You want to be in God's heaven. How are you going to get there if you will not come to the Savior? There's none else to whom you can go. If you will to Christ, then you'll never be saved. And yet, miss the Savior, and you miss heaven. Loved ones and your family will be there. They already have the assurance in their heart they're going to be there one day, but you haven't. Miss Christ and you miss heaven. That is why we implore you to do what the Queen of Sheba did and come to the King. By His grace, if God is speaking to your heart tonight, come to the King. And I remind you in His own words, "Behold, a greater..." Listen now. "A greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon is in this church tonight. And it's not the preacher. For the Lord said, where the twos or threes are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Lord's here tonight. He is the greater than Solomon. There is a fearful note that I must bring to you. I find that in that verse in Matthew chapter 12, and the Savior was to speak these words in verse 42. "The queen of the south shall rise up," that is the queen of Sheba whom we're looking at. "She shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." She will rise up to speak in condemnation to those that heard the message of the gospel. To those who were not in ignorance of what they needed to do. She will rise up in condemnation of such. For having heard, she came from a great distance. And she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Yet a greater is brought before you tonight. And he invites you to come unto him. And yet up until this point you have said, "I will not have this man to rule over me." You're not in ignorance tonight of God's way of salvation. You're not in ignorance tonight of what you must do to be saved. And so therefore I leave with you the thought of Luke 12:4, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." What does that simply mean? It means with the greatest privilege you have of hearing the message of salvation to your own soul, you have a responsibility. A greater responsibility than those in the darkest England or darkest Africa who haven't yet heard the message once. Your condemnation will be greater than judgment day if you will yet reject Christ. What will be your response tonight? The response of the Queen of Sheba was, she came to the King. But let me show you also here the satisfaction experienced When her seeking was rewarded, where she was to find more than she ever expected. You'll notice that she was to see 8 things in verse 4 and following. The first of which was the wisdom of God. And of course, of Christ has said that He is the wisdom of God. She was also to see His house. She was to see His servants. And the last thing she was to see was the house of God. 8 things there. When we consider that no ascent is greater than Him, for He was to ascend upon Golgotha's brow, and there He was to take the sinner's place and die in her stead. And the third day He rose again, and 40 days hence He was to ascend back to the Father's throne. For this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And in finishing the work of God's salvation, He has opened up a new and living way which He has put for us. The Queen of Sheba, in coming to the King, was to be satisfied more than she ever expected. The joy of knowing the King was to far exceed the grandest report that she had ever heard of Him. Satisfaction could be seen in His servants, for the Queen was to speak of them and their happiness. Look at verse 8. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. And the implication is this, that these servants of Solomon, they had something that she hadn't got. She hadn't possessed this happiness. And that happiness was due to the fact that they were privileged and been able to stand before the King and being in His continual presence. And they were to hear every word which dropped from their lips, from His lips. I take you to the words of Psalm, I think it's 144, the last verse. It says this, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. It says the troubles of life. But there's a happiness about us that we didn't have in our unsaved days. For we have a friend to whom we can take all those troubles. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And people are running about tonight looking for happiness in this world. And they're trying to find it in the bottom of a beer glass. And they're trying to find it in popping pills. And they're trying to find it dancing about a dance floor. And they're trying to find it in digging up their cars. Happy is the people whose God is their Lord. That's where true happiness is found. And Sheba, Queen of Sheba, as she looked at his servants, she said, happy are those men. Her satisfaction was to lead to her giving presents unto the King. But she was to receive an abundance of gifts in return. Verse 13, King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba, listen, all her desire. Whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. She was to receive abundantly more than she could ask for or even imagine. My dear soul, tonight in this meeting, the satisfaction that this queen was to have is but a little portion of the satisfaction. Faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And acknowledge Him as Lord. For it is the Lord who is able to give us that peace and that joy. Joy which is unspeakable and full of glory. The joy of sins forgiven. The joy of being in His presence. For in His presence there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. All who have come to Christ will testify that the joy of knowing the Lord has far exceeded the best reports that they ever heard. That joy is experienced in our service for Him. What a privilege tonight to know the Lord and to serve Him. Do you know the Lord? Do you know that hard experience of sins forgiven? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you come to Him for salvation? He desires that you would give Him the most valuable possession that you have. What is it? It is your soul.
For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? You can lose your soul. And the Lord is merely looking at soul of yours tonight. The hymn writer Isaac Watts was to sum it up, for he said, that were an offering, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Is there one in this meeting who will give the Lord your soul, your life, your all tonight and be saved? God has been speaking to your heart. Will you not come to Christ? Will you not satisfy this matter tonight, settle it, and be satisfied in Christ? Be saved both now, for time and for all eternity. I tell you, if you will but come this evening, your testimony will be Queen of Sheba. Behold, a half was not told me. He is abundantly more than I can ever preach. He is my Savior. He is my friend. Will you take him tonight? I'm inviting you to come. May God bless his word to your heart this evening, for his own name's sake. Amen.